many investors think that money is evil and that poverty equals piety, that the less money that you have, the more righteous that you are. But not you, because you follow me, A.B. Ridgway, Mr. Christian Finance himself, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. With over a decade of experience and a certified private wealth advisor professional, I am here to help you answer all of your investment questions so you can be rich and righteous. And today is a Bible study podcast about finances. And as you know, we talk about retirement planning, savings, even current events through a biblical perspective. And episodes like this, we like to really dig into the Word and figure out, what does God really say about money? We know what the world says, but what does the Word say? During this week, we typically go through the technical aspects of 401ks, their contributions, withdrawal, tax implications, but we like to take some time to really get into the spirit of finances, because when it comes to salvation and money, it's not what you do, but how you do it. We are taught in Sunday school from a very young age that actions are judged but by intention. So when it comes to our finances, it's not about how much money we make, but how we made it. It's not about how much we give, but why we gave in the first place. So today, brothers and sisters, we are going to discuss how to be content with the gains that we make in the stock market. Our scripture today is based on Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 through 6, which reads, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" As always, we want to check the context of this scripture. It actually starts at chapter 13, where we hear how to live a spiritual life. The four scriptures leading up to this verse read, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." So let's talk about this. Do you know the scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10? You may or may not know it offhand or know the reference, but once I start saying it, I'm sure you're going to pick it up and you're going to be able to finish it. You ready? So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 reads, "For the love of money is what? Right. The root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Does this scripture ring a bell? I'm sure it does. It's actually one of the two verses that many people quote when they're talking about the Bible. Did you know that in the Bible, they have roughly 2,300 verses about money, how to use money, how to think about money, and how to give money? Isn't that amazing? But unfortunately, we only know two or three verses about money. And there's 2,000 more that we should be understanding. So now do you understand why we have this misconception around money? Because we don't know everything that's in the Bible about it. Now, I'm going to give you another statistic that you may not have known. Did you know that money is actually the second most referenced topic behind salvation and the kingdom of God? Can you believe that? That God thought it was so important that he mentions it almost as much as salvation. And it's understandable because money and the exchange of it is probably one of the top reasons people err away from the faith and they commit so many evils. So if we can master how to manage money and your feelings around it, then you should be able to increase your chances of reaching salvation. And not because of the things that you've done, but things that you've avoided. So the reason I reference this verse is because in Hebrews, it reads, "Keep your life free from the love of money." And that's what we're going to focus on today. So in 1 Timothy, it warns, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Then here in Hebrews, we kind of double down here on that sentiment by saying we need to keep our lives free from the love of money. So why do we need to keep our lives free from the love of money? It is not because money is bad. Let's get that out of our heads right now. It has nothing to do with money being bad. If you set a stack of money on a table, that money's not going to get up and hit you. You know, it's not going to get up and steal anything. It's just going to sit on that table. That's all it's going to do, right? So let's get that out of our mind. But let's get this in our minds right now, that money is neither good nor bad. We need to start having accountability for the people who are actually using the money and how they are using the money. And that's why the Bible is so important, because it becomes our guide on how to use the money we do accumulate. So once again, let me ask you, do you know why the love of money is so bad? So once again, I have to really dive into this question. I want to dig really deep here. Why is the love of money so bad? And it actually took me a while to understand. I thought, okay, well, if someone uses it for bad things, then they're bad and it can cause a lot of pain and it could separate families and people have debts and they can get hurt. And it's just a lot of problems, right? And I had to take my perspective away from this kind of earthly way of thinking and kind of put it into this spiritual perspective. Why would God repeatedly say, you should not love money? And I started to realize it was because God wants us to love him. That's it. God wants us to love him. When I was in college, I heard a really good saying that you should not confuse the creator with his creations. I'm going to say that again. Do not confuse God, the creator, with his creations. And all love should be going to who? Should be going to the creator. Now, where I am drawing this conclusion from, think about the first commandment in the Bible. You know what that is? Is that you should have no other gods before me, right? We should not associate any partners with God. We should not give credit to things other than God, because once again, God is the creator and we are just merely the creations. And just recently, I reunited with Dr. Alan Rowe. He's the owner of UCAN. It's a nonprofit college prep organization, and they help kids get into college, whether by donations, scholarships, things of that nature. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, over 21 years ago, Dr. Alan Rowe actually helped me get into college, a little kid from Del Paso Heights, Sacramento, California, who really didn't know where he wanted to go and what he wanted to do. You know, I got great grades and very smart, but the idea of going to college necessarily wasn't on my heart. And he's the one that actually helped me get into Grambling State University. And the rest is history, from Louisiana State University of Shreveport on to Yale University School of Management for my certified wealth advisor professional designation, right? And then to owning AB Ridgeway Wealth Management, a Christian investment firm that helps Christian parents with adult children create financial plans. And the blessing in this, ladies and gentlemen, is that Dr. Alan Rowe actually kept the letter that I wrote him when I was around 17 and a half, 18 years max, about how grateful I was for his work to give me the opportunity to do something with my life. Now, on this telephone call, I made sure that I let him know how I felt sincerely. I made sure that I identified all the things he was doing in the community and how he did not waste a minute of his life because he impacted so many children. And ladies and gentlemen, he has impacted you too, because if it wasn't for him, I may not be here speaking with you now. How beautiful does that work? An action 21 years ago to a random child in a small community, now broadcasting all over the world, being able to talk to you and bring you more inspiration through the word of God. That's beautiful, isn't it? And the reason I bring up this story, ladies and gentlemen, is because at no point was I praising Dr. Alan Rowe for all that he was doing. All praises is for God and for God alone. But acknowledgement and sincere acknowledgement is appropriate for his creations. But once again, praise is only appropriate for the creator. So when we go back to this idea of not having love for money, it's because this love should be designated for the creator and not creation. And when I say creation, I mean the different forms that money can take in our lives, whether it's our cars, whether it's our houses, whether it's the food that we buy, whether it's the clothes that we purchase. All those things take different forms of money, and God doesn't like to be associated with those things. I mean, we all know the commandment, right? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's things. Now, why did God say that? Because it's the action of coveting something that turns us away from our faith. It turns our direction from God, and it turns us away from being servants to being consumers. The definition for covet is to yearn for something. Our God is a jealous God. He doesn't want you yearning or coveting his creation. He wants you to yearn for his love. Now, I'm no doctor of love. I can't break down the different types of love. You know, godly love, human love, animal love. You know, I don't know all that stuff. You know, people try to tell me the different levels of love and the different things that are attached to it. I can't keep up. I'm just the finance guy, right? The different levels of affection, you know, I'm not good at it, right? All I know is that the love that you have for a mother is not going to be the same love that you have for a spouse. The same love that you have for a spouse is not going to be the same love that you have for a child. The same love that you have for a child is not going to be the same love that you have for a neighbor or an animal. You understand, right? But here, what the Bible is telling us is that this yearning for money, for gains, for growth is going to be the death of you. When we talk about growth and financial planning, there is one concept we always keep in mind is that God owns it all. I'm going to say that again. God owns it all. Anybody who works with me knows that this concept is the first thing I ask clients when they come on board is, do you understand that God owns it all? It's a very heavy question. It's one thing to articulate that. Yeah, God owns it all. It's another thing to live it, that I understand God is in control here. I believe in God's decree, and that when things aren't going my way, I am not thinking about who to blame. I am thanking God for putting me through this situation and saying, God, what are you trying to teach me? And the reason I start off with this question is because if you don't understand that there are some things in this world, once again, that we cannot control, then you're never going to understand the stock market. You're just not. There are too many variables in the stock market to think that we can control them all. And to be very honest with you, the only thing that we really can do is control our participation in it. The same thing with this world. We cannot control when the sun comes up and when the sun comes down. Even though we like to feel that we can predict if it's going to be hot or if it's going to be cold or a hurricane is coming or a tornado, but how many times have we made that prediction and things just change? But there's also some things in these situations that we can control. Think about it. When it's raining, you could do what? You could put on a raincoat. You are in total control of what you wear. When it's hot, you could put on some shorts. No one is forcing you to put on long pants. But at no point can we control how hot that sun is going to be. And when we're thinking about finances, there are things that are going to come up, and there are some things that are predictable and some things that are what? Unpredictable. Think about this. Losing your job may be something that's unpredictable, but the idea that you could possibly lose your job is something that's predictable. And I'm going to say that again, just a little bit slower, okay? So we all get this, but losing your job may be something that's unpredictable, right? You don't know if you're going to lose your job or not, but the idea that you could possibly lose your job is predictable, and that's something that we can plan for. Why? Because we have thousands and hundreds and probably billions of examples of people gaining jobs and losing jobs. See, we can't plan for the day that you lose your job, but we can plan for the day if you lose your job. And we know at some point you may decide that you want to retire. We don't know when that date is. We don't know if you're going to be forced into retirement through disability or if you get fired or maybe you just throw up your hands one day and you're emotionally frustrated, but we can plan for that day. So what does this have to do with Hebrews chapter 13? In these scriptures, they're telling you how to live a good life. And contentment is one of those psychological traits that helps investors live happier lives. Now, what's the difference between contentment and complacency? And it's very important that we understand the difference between these two concepts, contentment and complacency. These words are very similar, and once again, if we don't know the true definition, it's hard to distinguish between the two. So when I talk about contentment, I'm not talking about complacency. Complacency means you don't want to move forward. That means no matter what's in front of you, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you have, you don't want to move forward. And when it comes to investing, that's not the mentality that we want. We want to move forward. We want to earn more money. We want to have more resources. We want to be able to give more. We want to grow our accounts to the maximum that they can possibly grow to, right? To our, the best of our abilities, to our talents, and to the time that we have. I remember a client reached out to me about some verbiage that was on my website. And he was like, you know, Mr. Ridgeway, I mean, I really love your content, but, you know, I'm kind of getting the feeling that you're kind of saying that making money is not good. And I had to tell him, it's like, no, money's okay. Gaining assets is okay. But it's just that love of money. He's like, well, do I have a love of money because I want it to grow? And I said, no. Just because you work towards something for it to grow or to get better, it doesn't mean you have an affinity for it. It doesn't mean that you have a desire for it. It's just something that you put in place to do. Just like when you go to work, you don't have a love for the paycheck. You go, you do the work, and you get paid. Now, when we're talking about contentment, we're talking about no matter how far we go in that race, no matter how much we earn, no matter how far that we go, that we are grateful to God for what we do have and not disappointed in what we don't. See, I was on social media, I think like a lot of people are, right? And I saw this guy named Alex Harmozy. He's a very big influencer. You may have seen him. He's built, he's really big guy. He has this huge empire of gym memberships, and he teaches people how to kind of master the art of business or whatever it may be. And after doing it for so many years, you can only come up with so many examples and you know, analogies. And he kind of came up with this one that was pretty silly. He called it the $1 million mistake a lot of people are making. And he gives the example that, okay, if you're making $50,000, you still have a bill of $950,000 of ignorance. And it's a mistake because you don't know how to make $1 million. So your quote unquote bill is $950,000. And it's something crazy like that. And I don't know all the details. I'll probably have to look it up again. But my point here that I'm trying to make is that basically the premise is the only reason you're not making $1 million is because you don't know how to make $1 million. And I kind of laughed at the short because I thought, well, if we have $1 million mistake, you may have a $1 trillion mistake, because if you're not making $1 trillion, that means you don't know how to make $1 trillion. So now you have $1 trillion debt. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. But the point I'm trying to bring up here, though, is that when you're always striving to get another dollar or feel that you're not worthy enough because you don't have $1 million or you don't have 5 million or 10 million or 20 million, that is not contentment. And you're not going to have a good life that way, because once again, actions are but by intention. So if our intentions are to make a lot of money, then our focus is on that and our actions are going to follow suit. That means we're going to spend less time with our family. We're going to spend less time with our friends. We're going to spend less time, maybe even, you know, on our own mental health and our fellowshipping with God. And that is not going to be good. So that's why in the scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it talks about freeing yourself from the love of money and be content with what you have. And it didn't say be complacent with what you have. Like, hey, this is all you're going to get, so don't worry about getting any more. No. Is contentment. And that's what we're looking for. And it goes on to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Think about that. The Lord is your helper. You will not fear. What can man do to you? What can they do to you that God can deliver you from? So if you're worried about losing your job, if you're worried about retirement, if you're worried about what your kids are going to do for college or how you're going to pay the next bill, you have to understand that the Lord is your helper and you don't need to fear. Now, when I think about this verse, I think about, okay, what can man do to you? And I can think of what they will try to do to you. And one of the things they're trying to do to you is to flash their lifestyle in front of you. And one of the things they're trying to do to you is to flash your lifestyle in front of you. The biggest trick of the devil is when he tries to make you not content with what you have. And he's always dangling that carrot on your head, And I don't know if you've ever watched cartoons when you were younger. I know that I did, that there was used to be like this donkey, and someone in the cartoon, what they'll do is they'll stick that stick on their head and they'll have the carrot dangling on the string, right? So now the donkey is walking forward, but the donkey can never get the carrot, right? And it was kind of like a motivation to get them going. And I thought about that recently as an adult, and I realized that society is like that carrot in the stick. They're going to dangle a lifestyle in front of you that you will not be able to get to, even though you're still making progress. Think about that. The donkey is still moving forward. That donkey may go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 miles, but always feels 1 or 2 feet away from where they think they should be. But they never look back to see how far they come. And that's how we think about investing. You know, you invest for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and you're at the height. Maybe you've gained 10, 20, 30, 40, doubled your money or whatever it may be. But when the market comes down 10%, you think life's over because you've forgotten about the 5 miles that you've come and you're only focused on the 2 feet that you are away. So you got to be very careful with society dangling these things in front of you, trying to distract you from your progress. You know, whether it's a faster car, bigger houses, I mean, name brands, anything to get the money out of your hands and out of the kingdom of God, because you are the steward of God's wealth. So you get to decide where you want to put your money, where you want to donate, where you want to make the biggest impact. And it is this carrot that is taken away from your wealth and ultimately from your contentment. And this idea of this carrot and pursuing this carrot is taken away from your wealth and ultimately from your contentment, because it's taken away your ability to choose. God has given you the money so you can make better choices. But once again, Hebrews is teaching you that if you want to live a happy life, if you want to be happy with the investments that you earn, you're going to have to learn to be content with the actions that you put in place. And the only way we could be content with the actions that we put in place is that they're biblically driven. And that's why it's very important to get into the scriptures and don't just rely on society. Society will tell you money is evil. They'll misquote 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. But once again, it says it's for the love of money is the root of all evil. And if we can get ourselves away from the love of money, focus on God, not covet our neighbor's things, be content with what we have, we wouldn't have the fear. And there's nothing that man can do to you at that point. You will be unstoppable. Whether you have $500,000, $1 million, you'll be happy because this is the life God wanted for you to have. And you will continue to strive to improve on God's creation and what he has blessed you with. Ladies and gentlemen, today we live like kings and queens. We eat the best foods. We really have king's disease. We sleep on soft beds. We have strong shelters. We don't have to hunt for our food. We can go shopping. You're probably relaxing right now listening to this. You're not worried about a predator in the bushes, right? This is a wonderful life. Don't let the carrot distract you from how blessed you truly are. And before I go, I want to share this with you. When Jesus had the fish and the bread, was he content or was he complacent? He was content. And what was the miracle? He multiplied what he had. He wasn't complacent. Did he say, hey, we only have a couple pieces of fish. We only have a couple pieces of bread. You know what? That's all we have. Well, too bad. No. He multiplies it and he used what he had and he kept going. But he was grateful. And brothers and sisters, if we are going to be content, we have to start with gratitude and thankful that God gave you the ability to even listen to this podcast. Thankful for God for giving you the ability to even have money, to have a Wi-Fi, to have a home, to have earbuds, to be able to have a device, a computer where you can listen to this podcast, where you can get the information and you can fellowship with other people. This is the true meaning of contentment. Brothers and sisters, relieve yourself from the love of money. And that comes strictly from Hebrews. So brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining me today. I am very content with you, my listener, whether it's one person or whether it's 10,000 people that listen to this episode. I am eternally grateful for you tuning in and subscribing to Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. I do see when you share to your friends and they let me know that you did. and it's a blessing, but once again, all praises go to God. But in that same sentence, I will humbly accept the recognition for what we do here, and we only do it for God's sake, to help benefit his servants. So if you're not subscribed, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you have not joined our newsletter, make sure that you check out the description. Once again, we have the four pillars to Christian finances. So if you don't know anything about investing, it's our ebook. It's free for you. It goes over debt management. It goes over savings. It goes over investing. And it goes over, well, transfers. So if you're new to Christian investing or want to know more of the technical aspects as far as brokerage accounts, retirement accounts, and how to save, it goes more in depth into what you really need to plan for your financial future. I consider it my thank you to you for listening. I'll be remiss if I didn't say before I go to make sure you check out AB Ridgeway Wealth Management for a free consultation. There's no obligation. You don't have to worry about signing up for anything. Get on my calendar. We'll discuss your financial situation and get to know you and how we can help. Over my career, I've worked with over 300 people and managed a book of over $50 million, and I'll be excited to see where I can help you. I've seen all kinds of investment questions, and I'm sure I can help you with yours. So if you're planning on retiring or recently retired and don't know what to do with your 401k, we would love to talk to you. Just go to www.abrwealthmanagement.com, schedule your consultation, and we'll take it from there. And if you've enjoyed this episode, make sure that you check back with us, because every Monday, we're going to try to release a Bible study podcast just like this, where we get to dive into the Bible, learn more about money, and how you could be rich and righteous. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.